Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Big Blue Insider is on. News Radio 630 WLAP and the iHeartRadio app. To interact with the show, call us at 859-280-2287. That's 859-280-CATS. Or you can tweet us at BigBlueInsider1. Now, here's Dick Gabriel.
Welcome to the Big Blue Insider for a Thursday edition of our show. We are still in the studio. They still have not been able to figure out how to repair the link between, well, anybody who's outside the station, not just me in my garage. So we're happy to be back. Again, special dispensation. Billy and I actually get to stare each other in the eye across two different rooms and two different panes of glass, but it's all good. And we're here to talk with you at 280-228-7800, 606-4263, or tweet us at BigBlueInsider1. I was up late. I know Billy was too, watching the NBA playoffs. And I know many of you are rooting for the Phoenix Suns because you'd like to see Devin Booker win a championship ring. That would be very cool. No question about that. I rooted for the Bucks a little bit when I was younger. And I really like Sidney Moncrief. It was hard to pick a favorite NBA team for many, many years because players kept moving. Now, I know a lot of people are still Laker fans because of the Showtime Lakers. My son was a Kobe fan, so he still roots for the Lakers. But, you know, the way, like I said, the way players come and go, it was tough to latch onto a team. A lot of people around here like the Boston Celtics because there were some former UK players who ended up there. Plus, Dave Cowens played there and was a great, great player. He did not play at Kentucky, but he was from Newport, Kentucky, so a lot of people rooted for him. But anymore, I think it's just whichever team you latch on to watching television. And if you're a Kentucky fan, of course, we have adopted officially the Kentucky Knicks. But with players coming and going, and Billy, there's so many rumors about trades now, you got to think if the Knicks trade one or two former Wildcats, you got to think at some point they'll pick up another Wildcat or two, right?
The way it's trending, Dick, I think you'd have to say so. Kenny Payne is just, I think he's got the ear of Tom Thibodeau and whoever's making those decisions. Leon Rose, whoever's making those guys. But, you know, Kevin Knox probably not going to be on the roster
maybe
next year. So interesting to see how they'll build around quickly and Randall.
Yep. Nerlens Noel may or may not be on the roster. So you know Julius Randle will, but I think we're going to see moves here in the offseason. But getting back to last night's game, I will say this. If you don't like the NBA because you say they don't play any defense, well, they do. We've talked about that many times. If you want to see a great example of no defense in the NBA, watch the All-Star game. That's what it looks like. But this particular series, Milwaukee is a terrific defensive team, and Phoenix is playing pretty well defensively as well. But I can't blame people who get a little fed up with the excessive physicality, let's call it, in the NBA. Now, some of it's good. Some of it is, you know, no blood, no foul, that kind of thing. But last night, and I know if you're a Devin Booker fan, I know where you're coming from. But still, toward the end, he had picked up his fifth foul on a you know, just a silly foul. He kind of commits these emotional, overwrought kinds of fouls. He's still learning to that end. But they sit him, and I thought they sat him until the proper moment to put him back in. About 6 minutes left, and Phoenix, I think, still had a lead. But at one point, he finds himself trying to guard on a breakaway. And instead of just giving up the bucket, it wasn't like there were 40 seconds left. There was plenty of time left. Devin Booker himself could have gone down and counterbalanced that bucket that was about to be scored over him with the flick of a wrist. But instead, he tackled the man with the ball. Tackled him. No call. Now, Milwaukee got the rebound, loose ball, put it in. So no harm there. But Booker should have fouled out. And then there was another foul about 90 seconds later where he just clobbered a guy. And I know that people like to say, well, you can't foul out the best players. People come to see the best player, you know. But to me, there's an issue there of credibility. How can you look at that and say, you know, that is the way basketball is supposed to be played? I don't care who it is. And you could argue that Booker's their best player. He probably is, either him or playoff P. But
No, that's Chris Paul.
Oh, that's right. Wrong Paul.
Paul George.
Yeah. But who's out of the playoffs again? You know, it's just – it's strange credibility. It really does when you see that. So I can't blame people. Although I doubt many people who are on the fence about the NBA were still awake and watching that game. But Twitter did go a little nuts on that, didn't it?
It was almost a historic no-call.
Oh,
it was blatant, and I think everybody watching and in that arena knew that Devin Booker had five fouls. Everybody knew. I mean, I think there was a con.
Of course.
Yeah, everybody knew that he was there, and I think he just zoned out, really. I mean, I think he forgot and just wanted to contest the shot.
Or maybe he knew he wasn't going to get called.
No, I don't think that's what it is.
Man.
Definitely got emotional and forgot what he was where he was in the situation.
Yeah, well.
But now he becomes what? The Kentucky player who scored the most points in one game in a finals effort?
Yeah.
42?
Yeah. How about that?
Yeah.
And he and Chris Middleton just went shot for shot. It was a great game. It really was. And again, we talked about this the other night. If you don't like the NBA, I get that. But if you watch it long enough, and you're a basketball fan, you will. And college basketball is becoming more and more like, or striving to become more and more like the NBA, minus the bumping and banging. I think fans would really throw a fit over that just because that's what they're used to seeing or not seeing in college ball. Anytime somebody goes into the paint in college ball and gets bumped, there's a foul called. And that's not necessarily a good thing. I think the college game could do with a little bit more of what they do in the pros.
Well, what we saw last night,
so inconsistent.
Dick, what we saw last night is not what we see in the regular season of the NBA. So we even heard Stan Van Gundy talking about it last night.
They let more go.
Yeah, it's being officiated differently than the regular season was.
Yeah, they let him grind it. You know, the other thing to remember, too, is people always complain about officiating. And we had Doug Hampton, who's a veteran official, retired, and his two sons are college officials, had him on the show. We'll have him again. But, you know, he believes, and of course he's terribly biased, but he believes that college officiating is not at an all-time low. A lot of people love to say that, but here's the other thing to remember. There are hundreds and hundreds of college basketball teams at all levels playing on a given night, literally. How many NBA teams are there? So how many NBA referees are there?
30.
In other words, far more consistent officiating. You know, and it used to vary from conference to conference in college ball, not so much anymore. But it's never going to be, you know, you're always going to have people who may not be good enough to work the SEC or the Big Ten or the, you know, whatever. They might be a Division II, Division III, just getting started, whatever. You're going to have inconsistent officiating. But again, the best college guys are poached by the NBA and move up to the big bucks. So
amazing how important that position it is, and it's not a full-time job.
Well, when you work at something five nights a week, yes, it is. See, I disagree with that. Just because they're not, you know, employed by one league or another, but you got guys working four, five, six nights a week. That's a full-time job in my book. And traveling their butts off.
Yeah, I guess.
See, and
that's
another thing. I always found that odd when people talk about NFL referees aren't full-time. They're just as full-time as the players are. Even though they're not paid. They're paid by the league. Players are paid by the team. But if you look at the breakdown of an NFL referee and what he does or she during the week, including travel, that's 6 days.
Yeah, but they don't have a union.
So?
So they don't they're not represented the same way the players are in the league.
But it's still full time.
But they don't receive the same amount of benefits as the players.
Well, yeah, I'm with you on that. But I'm saying people complain that these guys aren't full time, so how can they be any good? You know, when you look at video breakdown meetings, all that kind of stuff, they're just as full time as the players are.
Without the responsibility.
Well, they're held accountable because many of them are not invited back. That just never comes out. And we've talked about this on the show before. College officials are held accountable, just quietly so.
Not blasted online.
Anybody, yeah.
Publications.
Yeah, we've cut this guy. No. Okay, who's refereeing this season? Not so fast, Rutledge. Step back. That kind of thing. 280-228-7800-606-4263. Tweet us at Big Blue Insider 1. When we come back, honors for former Wildcats and a big league baseball player game is called off tonight. Sound familiar? We're back in a minute. A little bit later on, Tim Couch will join us, the Kentucky legend. We'll talk football. We'll talk about the Wildcats' new offense. He has met Kentucky's new offensive coordinator. And in fact, that's where I was last night. We had a best of show because they had a little gathering for the UK Radio Network crew. We were invited to the Wednesday night cookout over there after Kentucky football practice. So we got a chance to chat with some of the players and we got a chance to chat for quite a while with Liam Cohen. That was a lot of fun talking to him just about, you know, him getting used to Lexington and hearing some of the stuff we share with him about Kentucky football. Got a chance to see Dusty Bonner. He was there as well in his medical scrubs right out of the job. But, yeah, that's where we were last night. So it was awfully fun to be at the football facility for the first time in more than a year and a half. So we'll talk football with Tim Couch coming up in hour number two. Rick Bozich of WDRB.com will join us as well. Here on the Big Blue Insider, 630 WLAP.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. Dick Gabriel, Billy Rutledge, 280-228-7800-606-4263. Tweet us at Big Blue Insider 1. There is a new mock draft per CBSSports.com, which for quite a while had Isaiah Jackson going 21 to the New York Knicks. Right now, it looks like they've got him out of the first round, so maybe the fact that he's not been working out a lot for these teams, didn't go to the combine, might have hurt him. But it helped, evidently, in their eyes, Brandon Boston. They've got him now going, Billy, in the first round, pick number 9 to Sacramento. How about that?
Yeah, Dick, I can't even tell you. I can't even predict some of these NBA draft ratings. Because it's all on potential, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah, of course.
I mean, Isaiah Jackson played a hell of a better season than B.J. Boston.
Yeah. But it's all about what they see in front
what
of them.
What they can translate, yeah.
And, yeah, exactly right. So that's why it's always fun to go back and look and see, you know, who was right, who came the closest to figuring things out. Right now, they've got the Knicks taking a player from Spain, Usman Garuba, who is 6'8", about 230, so similar in size to Jackson. And they say he's a borderline all-star if his offensive skills come around. And they call him a plug-and-play guy. Not, you know, they looked at Isaiah as a raw talent. So, yeah. But like you say, Billy, it's kind of a roll of the dice, but it's an educated guess because the people who put out the mock drafts have been covering the league for a while. They've talked to folks. So, but it's still going to be fun. Mentioned some former Wildcats honored. The Kentucky Sports Hall of Fame is back up and operating this year. 6 people going in, including 3 from the University of Kentucky. Keith Madison.
Hey!
Yeah, how about that? Our broadcast partner and a longtime coach. 25 years as the head coach at the University of Kentucky. And when he retired with his 737 wins, third most in SEC history back then from 79 to 03. This will be, I think, his third Hall of Fame in which he's entering. Dwayne Casey, who is now the head coach of the Detroit Pistons and coached them to a 41-41 regular season record. So he dragged them up and got them into the playoffs. They hadn't been in the playoffs for a couple of years. Longtime NBA coach, his first in as an assistant for 12 years, won a ring with Dallas, and then was the head coach in Minnesota at Toronto, where he was named Coach of the Year in 2018. And then they fired
him. Then he got fired. Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. But he is well known in the league, especially for his defense. So congrats to Dwayne Casey. And Rachel Commissar, who was a record-breaking swimmer, was an SEC champ and All-American back in the late 90s, won a couple of gold medals in the Olympics, set five individual events, records, four relays for the Wildcats, SEC titles in the 200 butterfly, the 500 and 1,650-yard free, and won the Commissioner's Trophy for scoring the most points at the 99 SEC Championship, six-time All-American. So they will be honored on September 7th, if you'd like to go, at the Galt House in Louisville. Other honorees, and I love these picks, Elmore Smith led Kentucky State to back-to-back NAIA championships, 8 years in the NBA. His running mate, Travis Grant, went in a few years ago, back when I was affiliated with the Hall of Fame. Romeo Crennel, Billy, football star at Western Kentucky.
That's right.
Longtime college and NFL coach. And he has been the defensive coordinator for five Super Bowl champions. How about that?
That's a full hand.
That's very good. And my buddy John Asher, who left us way too soon. Speaking of Western Kentucky, nobody loved the Hill more than John Asher. A proud WKU alum. And when I was with the Hall of Fame, and for the last 20 or something years, I was the nominating committee chairman, and John was a committee member, and he tried as much as he could to make our meetings, but when he couldn't and we were talking about nominees, he would email me or call me or whatever, and it almost inevitably included a WKU product. So John was always representing. You know, but John was so smart and knew much more than just horse racing. But of course, when he died, he was the public relations face of Churchill Downs. He worked for a long time for our sister station, WHAS Radio. I think he won four Eclipse Awards for radio coverage and went to work for Churchill and was just the perfect choice. Anytime Churchill Downs needed anybody to talk about anything regarding the racetrack, the history of the track, or the Kentucky Derby especially, of course, there was John Asher. And then just he was gone. So I'm so happy for him and his family that we'll get a chance to talk about him and tell stories about him again. So I always reminded John, because he always picked a Derby winner for the weekly newspaper in Louisville. And so anytime I got to Churchill Downs Derby week, I say, all right, John, who have you picked in all this mess? And he'd either say, I haven't picked one yet, or he'd tell me. And I remember in 1990, I'm taking you back a ways, I loved Unbridled, because Unbridled raced through Keeneland. And I got to see him train, and he didn't win the Bluegrass Stakes, but it was an off track. And Carl Nasker, the trainer, was so confident. And he said, you know, it didn't matter if he didn't win the Bluegrass, he's going to the Derby. And that week, he said, I don't know who's going to win it, but if I don't, they're going to have to beat Unbridled. And John liked a horse called Silver Ending, who had won the Arkansas Derby. And I kind of liked him a little bit, but John talked him up so much. I was like, and I took everything I had financially that I could afford to lose, and I was going to shove it, as Andy Byer said, shove it through the window, the betting window, and cry out the name of your horse. That's exactly what I was going to do. Well, I kind of split it up between Unbridled and Silver Ending. Well, here comes Unbridled in the post parade. Just regal. Just loving the day. Silver Ending was running around in circles, sweating from the kidneys. He was a mess. I thought, this horse is going to be lucky to get out of the gate. I ran back down the tunnel to see if I could get back in line and bet more money on Unbridled, and the line was too long. So I actually cashed a Derby ticket that day, Mr. Rutledge, cursing while I did because I didn't bet enough.
Good thing John had your back.
I teased him about that for a long time. So congrats to everybody going in. Tim Couch is next, 630 WLAP.
You're listening to Big Blue Insider with Dick Gabriel on News Radio 630 WLAP and WLAP.com.
Welcome back to the Big Blue Insider. Dick Gabriel, Billy Rutledge. We just talked about the Kentucky Sports Hall of Fame. Back when I was with it, it was the Kentucky Athletic Hall of Fame. And our next guest is a member of that hall and has just recently been inducted into the National High School Hall of Fame. The honors roll in for Tim Couch. He was a first-team All-American, number one draft pick, and now a member of the National High School Football Hall of Fame. He's on our Celebrity Hotline at his son's baseball game. Tim, are we winning?
We are. It's actually going well. We're up 9-1 right now, so okay. I think things are going pretty well
tonight. All right. Well, look, if your son goes yard, you have our permission to drop the phone and stand up and go crazy. So
I appreciate that because I probably would.
Hey, congratulations on the Hall of Fame. You've had so many great things happen to you in a wonderful career. What did that mean to you?
It means a lot. You know, just to be recognized for what I was able to accomplish in my high school career and, just the teammates and the coaches that I had at Leslie County and, you know, things we accomplished, just looking back on it, certainly really proud of it. You know, all the national records that we broke and, National Player of the Year awards and all those type of things. It just, means a lot to me now that I'm, 43 years old looking back at that time. And it was certainly a great time. And we had, my teammates and I certainly enjoyed, all the attention that we were getting. And every time, we would play on Friday nights, the stadiums would be packed. So it was a lot of fun to be a part of.
I was going to say, and I got to see you play in high school, of course. And that had to be the best part of that. I mean, you know, great things happened to you. But you got to take everybody with you, didn't you?
Yeah, and that was really the cool part about it, Dick. I was receiving a lot of the attention, and but my teammates loved it too because they would look up in the stands, and it would be Joe Paterno there one week, Steve Spurrier there the next week, and then Bill Curry there the next week. So it was just and a ton of media coverage as well. So they loved it as well. So they got a chance to perform on the big stage too, and we were all certainly part of it.
Certainly, how Mummy's offense suited you, but I think people maybe don't know or they might forget, Tim, that you guys were slinging the ball around. I don't know if you wanted to call it the air raid, but there was a lot of passing going on in the mountains back then prior to your arrival at UK, right?
Yeah, we, I was fortunate enough to have a good high school football coach, a guy named Mike Whitaker, who actually started his career at Kentucky and transferred to Eastern Kentucky University. He was a great player. So he came back after his career was over and coached me, and he had me from my seventh grade year up through my junior season. So he put in an offense for me that, really no one was running, especially back in Eastern Kentucky at the time with, the spread system, mm-hmm. Four or five wide receivers. And it was, very much like the air raid system, honestly. And, so we were putting up a lot of big numbers and, probably throwing the ball 30, 40 times a game. And, it was a lot of fun to play in.
Tim, for the last month, we've talked about the pressures that in-state recruits face when they come to Kentucky basketball, whether it be Reed Shepherd or Dante Allen, the pressure seems magnified. Do you feel like you experienced some of that as an in-state kid going to Kentucky?
Yeah, absolutely. There was a lot of pressure for me to stay home and play at my, home state school. So I was, leaning towards Tennessee and Florida and Ohio State and some other schools at the time. Kentucky football was, they were pretty down. I think they had won one game when I was a senior in high school. So, I did feel that pressure, from my family, my friends, from the the fans, to stay home and make something happen at my home state university. So I certainly felt that. I felt it when I was at UK, being a hometown kid and, trying to perform on, in front of the home fans and all that kind of stuff. You certainly feel that pressure week in and week out.
I know you can relate to what Reed Shepherd's going through. And of course, your dad was a fun guy to have around, but he was not a former Kentucky All-American like Reed's dad. If you could give him any advice, what would it be about this process?
I would tell him to enjoy it, to try and slow down and take it all in because, when you're that age and you're getting this much attention, you get pulled in so many different directions and you can kind of, not really embrace the process of what's happening to you. It's kind of overwhelming, for a young kid to experience that. So, if I could do it all over again, looking back, I would have taken some time to appreciate it more and just kind of enjoy it. I was just, head down, just grinding and trying to, so focused that I didn't really, appreciate all the stuff that was going on around me. I appreciate it much more now than I did at the time. So, I would probably just tell him to enjoy it and, not let the pressure get to you. as much as you can and just enjoy the process.
Tim, I think Big Blue Nation has high expectations for new offensive coordinator Liam Cohen with Stoops reaching into the NFL ranks. But what are your expectations with an NFL guy coming in? What are some changes you'd like to see to this offense implemented?
Well, I think if you you watch the Los Angeles Rams and the way they ran their offense over the last several years with Sean McVay and obviously Liam being there under the, in that staff, I think you're going to see a lot of, you know, play action, deep shots down the field. And, you know, with the way we run the football, our offensive line, we're going to have those opportunities to take those shots down the field. So I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, just a little more balance. You know, obviously the last couple of years we've been so run heavy. It's been really one-dimensional. So I think a little more balance in the offense would be nice to see. And, you know, I think that's what we'll see from Liam and his system.
You mentioned the O-line, and I know how much you appreciated the guys who blocked for you and the great job they did. What do you think of the way that Kentucky has developed what's now been known as the Big Blue Wall? Thanks a lot to
I was breaking up a little bit. I think you're asking about the offensive line, the way they've been able to develop those guys.
Yeah.
I think it's been unbelievable, you know, with John Harmon started here. With those guys, and now it's just, you know, the way that they're recruiting and the type of athletes that we're bringing in at those positions is, it's unbelievable. And, you know, the way we've been able to dominate teams up front in the SEC, big defensive lines, you know, I've never seen Kentucky football, you know, operate that way. And it's always been something where, you know, we could, you know, level the playing field if we spread teams out and threw the ball. But, you know, we've just been lining up and running the ball down teams' throats. You know, they know it's coming and it's one-dimensional. So it's been really impressive to see the way this offensive line has grown and developed and the way they're able to recruit that position.
Tim, how is your son as a Little League baseball prospect? Does he keep his glove down? Is he a lefty? Tell me about his future here.
He's doing pretty good. You know, he's 12 years old, and he's playing catcher and center field as well. But he get his first home run over the fence last week's tournament. Oh. So he was excited about that. So, yeah, he's improving. He really loves to play. And this is his last tournament of the year, actually, and he's going to start playing tackle football this season for the first time. Mm. He's played flag for the last few years. So he's going to try out tackle football. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, people forget you were a really, really good basketball player. You led the state in scoring one year. Did you play baseball?
You know, I never played baseball, Dick. I was they always wanted me to come out and pitch, but I was so afraid that I would either hurt my arm or mess up my mechanics for throwing a football, and I just didn't want to mess with that. So never played baseball. It was just basketball and football, and really loved basketball. And, you know, actually came to Kentucky with the intention to play both sports once I got here, you know, but it was a little difficult to do that, and, you know, trying to, you know, maintain academics and all that kind of stuff. So it was a pretty tough deal.
You know, it's funny because there's a pitching coach named Tom House who has his pitchers throw a football just for mechanics use. But anyway, that's a topic for another discussion. You mentioned what Kentucky's doing now under Mark Stoops. And it seems like they're, you know, one step away. If you can beat Georgia, they've been competing with Florida. If they could beat Georgia, you know, and I think you've been to the SEC football championship game as a guest, I'm pretty sure. But can you imagine if Kentucky ever got to that game?
No, I can't. You know, the Cats fans would take over, and, you know, it'd be something to see. And we're close. You know, like you said, over the last 2 years, you've been knocking on the door. We just got to get past Georgia. And, you know, we've been extremely competitive with Florida and obviously in Tennessee and, you know, those teams. So it's, you know, we're right there. I think, you know, just, you know, a little better, you know, execution at the quarterback position and the passing game. And I think we can get over the hump and start competing with those teams.
You threw to a guy named Craig East. You threw to a lot of guys. But the guy who kind of rewrote the record book for receivers was Craig East. And now Kentucky has Wandale Robinson. How excited were you when you heard that he was coming home?
Oh, extremely excited. You know, I think, you know, with this system, I think he'll fit in perfectly. And the way they can move him around, you know, he's such a versatile guy. They can put him in the slot. They can, you know, get him in a lot of different positions, get him the football. He's electric with the ball in his hand. So I'm sure they'll have a whole package just for him each and every game to try to get him, you know, a certain amount of touches each game because he's so dynamic with the football in his hand. But, you know, I'm excited about those guys, that entire group, really. I know they're hungry and eager to get going in this new system and have an opportunity to make some plays in the passing game.
Tim, as a former professional athlete, did you earn any respect for old Dick Gabriel on the TV side when you made the transition from football to television?
Oh, absolutely. It's certainly not an easy transition. I just kind of jumped right into that, and really with no intentions. I just kind of went for a guest appearance one time on a show, and they ended up liking me and asked me if I wanted to, you know, try to start doing some TV. So I started doing that, and did it for about 6 years or so, and covering the SEC. And, you know, I did the Browns preseason games the past 2 years. So, I really enjoy doing it. It's a lot of fun. It keeps me involved in the game. But, it is an adjustment. You know, you have to, even though, you know, obviously I know the game well and can talk about the game, it's, you know, doing it on TV is a different thing. The game moves so fast when you're on TV. So it takes some adjusting, but, I've done it for a while now, so I feel pretty comfortable with it.
There are fewer and fewer preseason games. Are you going to work with the Browns again this year?
No, not this year. I'm not going to be able to do it. Okay. My kids are kind of at that age where they're so busy. I've got one kid that's going to be a sophomore at LCA, and then my youngest son's going into sixth grade and playing football. So I just don't want to miss their game.
Sure.
I have to be up there quite a bit. So I'm going to be here and going to all my kids' games.
Well, and I know that's why you stepped away from broadcasting, and I respect that enormously. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping someday you get back in because you were really coming along, man. You were having fun and doing well with it. But enjoy those kids while you got them. That's all I can say. I don't know if you heard me there.
Oh, sorry. No, I didn't hear it get out on me.
I just said I respect the fact that you had a great TV thing going, but you stepped away for the kids. But I really just enjoy the heck out of them, and some of the TV will always be there.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah, it's they're only young once. You don't get this time back. So I certainly, now that I have the opportunity to be around, so I want to do that for them. But I certainly look to get back into TV once they get a little older, and really enjoy doing that.
Well, we appreciate your time. Go back to rooting for your son, and have a great summer. Thanks, man.
Okay, I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Have a good one. That's Tim Couch, Kentucky All-American. You know his story. Number one draft pick. Hall of Famer now. National High School Hall of Famer.
So my little league son will be a left-hander, no matter what.
You'll make him.
I will train him, starting at the dinner table. He cannot eat with his right hand.
But he's got to be a pitcher.
That too.
If he's a pitcher left-handed and has a pulse, he's got a shot, But it's funny because Colin Cowgill was Mr. Kentucky Baseball, Henry Clay, excuse me, All-Stater, All-American at Kentucky, major leaguer, now a manager in the Diamondback system, but he was like 5'9", bats right, throws left, and not a pitcher. So that means at 5'9", you're not going to be a first baseman.
Right.
So you're going to be an outfielder. And John Cohen, when he was kind of recruiting him, when he was a junior, he said, look, guys like you are a dime a dozen. Bats right, throws left, one position. And I'm not sure if you can help us. And then the senior year is when Colin turned it on just to show Cohen. And to his credit, he didn't say to heck with Kentucky because he grew up right down the street. But he better be really good if he's bats right, throws left. Make sure he's a pitcher or can hit the hell out of the ball like Colin Cowgill could and play defense. But, my son, he doesn't like it when I talk about him like this on the air, but he writes left-handed and does everything else right-handed. And I told him, I said, I think you write left-handed because you grew up watching your mother write left-handed. Oh, you're crazy. Does everything else right-handed.
I wonder what decides that, maybe it's genetics, but I wonder if habits at an early age can just knock it out.
I'm the wrong guy to answer that because I do some things left-handed and some things right-handed. I batted primarily left-handed. I would switch a little, but I batted primarily left. I wrote right-handed. I play pool left-handed. It's because I'm left-eye dominant. When I take pictures, I will put my left eye on the viewfinder, if there is one, if you don't have the screen in front of you. TV camera, I was forced. Some guys who are left-eye dominant will turn their head on a TV camera just to use their left eye. But I would use my right eye. I wasn't very good at it anyway.
Recently, I've seen some pitchers have, the glove that can fit on both hands?
Yeah.
Because they'll change righty or lefty depending on the batter.
Yeah. And man, if you could do that, you'll stay in a game.
That's right.
That's right. 280-228-7800-606-4263. By the way, batting and throwing and all, I didn't do it very well, but you know, when I was a kid, I was like, what feels better? Right. It's never a question I was going to throw right-handed. But batting, I did both, and I'm like, what feels better, to your point? So, anyhow, we're back in just a minute here, 630 WLAP.
This is the home of the Wildcats, 630 WLAP.
Thanks again to Tim Couch for joining us. Coming up, Rick Bozich of WDRB.com. You know, this is the first time, Billy, in a while that we have led the show with something other than the fact that another preseason All-American honor for a football Wildcat. And we don't mean to overlook that, but Darian Kedard named a first-teamer by Athlon, which is, it seems like that's the one that's been, I don't know if it's been around the longest, but I remember Athlon being around for so long, and that's the magazine that really began to use regional covers so that the ones, of course, sold in your state featured a player from your favorite team. And after a while, we realized, oh, well, in Tennessee, they got a Tennessee guy, you know. But still, it was a big deal. And Darian Kedard, first-team All-American by Athlon Sports. So, and then, by the way, there are 31 SEC choices on their All-America teams, their various teams. So, Darian Kedard, spotlight is on you. More good news for Kentucky's baseball Wildcats. Mason Hazelwood is announced. This is not a shock, but he will return for the 2022 season. He's the guy who was becoming the ace of the staff. Then he blew out his arm. He had to have Tommy John surgery on his elbow, but he's the third experienced arm in the last 2 days to announce that he's coming back. Sean Harney and Daniel Harper. So the H squad is coming back. Mason is a local guy, Billy. You like those local guys. He is from Mercer County, Selvisa.
As long as they can handle the pressure, Dick.
That's right, and he can. He is. He has been terrific at Kentucky, in fact. And in fact, this past year he was 3-0, 2.13 ERA, and Kentucky missed postseason by, you know, another season, a win or two. And yeah, that would have made a difference, having Mason Hazelwood. And here's the thing. When Hazelwood went down, they moved Harney from the bullpen with his six saves into the starting rotation, where he picked up three wins. But that kind of upset the balance of the bullpen. You know, it just seemed like everybody in the bullpen had their jobs. And you ought to be able to weather something like that. But I don't think it was a coincidence that when they had to start moving pitchers around, things began to change. And I really felt like the bullpen let that team down last year. There were many other problems, like there always are with teams. But I was shocked that the bullpen wasn't a strength for that team. But you forget their best pitcher from the bullpen moved to the rotation because their best starter got hurt.
Sounds like Sawyer Smith and Terry Wilson getting hurt and your best receiver moving to quarterback.
Exactly. You know, now, that worked out pretty well. I think we'll all agree.
Yeah, it did.
But interesting, though, what Tim Couch had to say about just looking for more balance. I mean, it's not exactly rocket science, but as he pointed out, they still had success. Everybody knew what they were going to do, and they still had success. But now you want success with that capital S, right?
And a deep ball, too.
Yeah,
don't forget
exactly
that.
Speaking of deep balls, a guy who knows how to throw one or two, Tom Brady, your boy. Did you see this? Were you aware?
Just saw this, yeah.
He played the entire season with a fully torn MCL, medial collateral ligament. Suffered the injury previous season with the Patriots. Had surgery to repair it in February after the win over the Chiefs. But why in the world would you not get that fixed after you leave New England?
Well, that and why wasn't it disclosed?
Well, that I get, because you don't want anybody to accidentally on purpose take a shot at his knee. I don't know what the NFL rules are either about disclosing injury. But because the injury didn't prevent him from playing, I guess they didn't have to. And clearly, he did okay. And by the way, the MCL... The ACL is the one behind your knee that if, you know, you tear that fully, you got a chance of not even being able to stand up. But some guys have played with ACLs and rehabbed them. But the MCL runs along the inner edge of your knee, connects your shin and your thigh bone. So it's not always something that is repaired via surgery. But the fact that this guy played in the NFL at the very highest level with an MCL.
But he had it before the season started. That's, you know, you hit the nail on the head, Dick. I don't know why it lasted that long.
Yeah.
I guess it was a problem that they could avoid at the time.
They called it a cleanup procedure after they announced his surgery back on February 11th. And finally, somebody with a Boston newspaper found out what it was and said it was more than just a little cleanup. Brady finally confirmed it, but would not talk about what happened. He said, I'm a little old school on that front. So tip of the cap to him if you haven't already before. Hour number two is next, 630 WLAP.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.